Please open your Bibles this evening to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. It's been a while since I have brought a message from Hebrews. This afternoon, I just want to point out one of the things in this chapter that is just briefly to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. There's so much in this chapter, and we've already studied a great deal. But after explaining that God made man to rule over all creation, he also explained in this chapter that we do not see man doing that at this time. But in verse 9 he said, "But we do see him, that is Christ, who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For which reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing thy praise. And again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." Let's pray together. We thank you again, Father, for your inspired and holy word, that these words are as direct as if spoken from your mouth directly to our ears at this moment. That this is the word of God. This is the truth from your mind and from your plan for us. And so we ask that you would help us to take it in, to give thanks for the perfect work of our Lord Jesus Christ, to bring many sons to glory. And we thank you for this afternoon and pray that you would help us as we take the Lord's Supper to believe what this passage teaches. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I believe the last time that we looked at this passage, we talked about the freedom from death that God has given to the believer, whereby Satan had strength to keep us under his rule. But we have been freed from death and its consequences and its power by the death of Christ on our behalf. But I wanted to come back to another statement in verse 11 that as we approach the Lord's Supper, that I believe is a great encouragement to Christians. Now in verses 12 and 13, we have what is basically the quotations of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament about his people before the Father. We read Psalm 22, which is A quotation in verse 12 is from that passage, in which after his crucifixion, he would rise from the dead and proclaim his name, God's name, to his brethren. It's a statement about the resurrection of Christ and the assurance that he would bring all of his brethren to eternal life. And then in verse 13, we have two quotations. I will put my trust in him, and behold, I am the children whom God has given me. And these are quoted from Isaiah chapter 8, where Isaiah explains that the children that God gave him as a testimony and as a witness to Israel that God would give his son, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, that these are the words of Isaiah. I will put my trust in him, and behold, I am the children that God has given me as a witness. And both of these quotations are put in the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 11. For both he who sanctifies, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who are sanctified, that's his believers, his followers, his Christians, his sheep, are all from one Father, one family, one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. What this is talking about is the brethren that the Lord Jesus was given by the Father before the foundation of the world. You remember what he said in the prayer in John 17? That the Father had given him a people for his own possession. This is eternal life, he said, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And he prayed in that prayer for the ones the Father had given him beforehand. And so he's talking about those brethren, those elect ones, before the foundation of the world, that he came and died for, as Psalm 22 describes so vividly. The nails in his hands, the abuse of those that persecuted him, the tongue swelling in the mouth upon the cross. And then he rose from the dead and proclaimed God's name to his brethren. That is, he accomplished that salvation in his resurrection for those that he came to save. I know my sheep, he said, and they know me, and they follow me. They hear my voice. But I wanted us to look in verse 11 at this statement, which still astonishes me every time I read it. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he, the Lord Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren. That is an astonishing statement when you sit and think about it. There are so many reasons the Lord Jesus could be ashamed of those he came to save, those who were given him by the Father before the world began. He could be so ashamed of our sins in Adam that we inherited, a sinful nature that is rebellious against God, that he didn't have to come. He could have been ashamed of that sin and saying, I will not have such ones be considered my brothers for eternity, my sisters. He could have been ashamed for all the sins of our actual choice and lives, from childhood on to the present day, of the times that we loved other things more than God, took his name in vain, that we did not set apart the Sabbath day to keep it holy, where we we dishonored our parents, hated others, and murdered them in our minds with our words. He could have been ashamed of the evil thoughts of lust against others and discontent with our spouse. He could have been ashamed of the lying, the deceit, the dishonesty in stealing, the laziness in our work. He could have been ashamed of the discontent and jealousy and complaining and envy of others, from the sins of our nature in Adam and of our actual choices. It would not be hard for one so holy and so good, who has never sinned, no deceit ever had been found in his mouth, to be ashamed of us. And yet, that's the only kind of people God the Father had to be his brethren. He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing thy praise, the Lord Jesus says to the Father. It's as if he says, behold, I, Father, and the brethren, one with me, standing before you. I'm not ashamed of them. The fact that our Lord Jesus Christ has done everything to remove our shame is something that we ought to cherish. Through his perfect life and his death upon the cross, he made such a full atonement with God the Father that it set all things right. Through his atoning blood, he has made our sins forgiven and washed away our sins from the sight of God's judging eye. And it was necessary to do so that he would not be ashamed to call us brethren. There had to be the atonement for sin and the removal of sin to stand with him before God. And not only that, but for us to stand before God with him, and the Lord Jesus says, behold, I and the brethren which thou hast given me, he had to cover them with a righteousness they could not achieve for themselves. He had to dress them in the robes of his righteousness, and that he did. For in his death upon the cross, we not only have a sacrifice that's sufficient, we have a perfect one. A perfect human life that never had one thought of sin against God or man, that never had an evil thought, never said an evil word, never did an evil deed. He was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And when he died upon the cross, it was a perfect, righteous sacrifice that he offered. And in that transaction, whereby his death made atonement for our sins, God in his mercy also not only washed away the sins of his people, but granted to them the gift of his son's righteousness to cover them before God. And it is in the light of the fact that we have much shame to cover, that his blood made atonement for all the shame that we have, that his perfect life has covered all the shame that we are and have, that in his kindness and love, the Lord Jesus gave himself for his people, that he might present them with himself, the one who sanctifies and the ones who are sanctified, that he might present us by his side before his Father and say, "Behold, I and the children whom thou hast given me stand, behold, before the Father forever." The fact that he is not ashamed to call us brethren is a statement that's so full of grace and mercy and patience and kindness and humility that it just staggers the imagination of how to explain it all. But when we come to the Lord's Supper and take it, our Lord made it very plain, "Do this in remembrance of me." And he made it plain that we're to remember his life that was without sin, the sufferings, the beatings, the mocking that came to him. We're to remember the crucifixion, the casting lots for his clothing, as Psalm 22 predicts, that he was pierced in his hands and feet and side, as Psalm 22 says. We're to remember all of those things when we come to the Lord's Supper, that it was necessary for him to go through so that we may take it as his brethren, that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. And so when we come to the supper this afternoon, I want us all to think about the shame that we all have by nature before God. And then to think about all of our acts whereby God himself said, "Every thought and intent of their heart is only evil continually." To live before a God as if he doesn't exist and not care what he thinks is a shame. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ is so perfect in his life and his atoning work, and in sending the Holy Spirit to gather us to faith in him, to believe in him, that his salvation is so complete that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. And therefore we take this supper in remembrance of that. That he delights to have us by his side and stands before the Father with a cleansed and forgiven family, saying to the Father, "Behold, I and the children whom thou hast given me, now cleansed, now forgiven, now adopted, now justified, now sanctified, and one day glorified." We need to remember things like this when we come to the Lord's Supper. Not just what he did upon the cross, but what he did for us upon the cross. And the love that was in his heart, and what great grace and mercy he has to no longer be ashamed of us, so that we may come into his presence with full confidence that in ourselves there's much shame, but in his kindness and mercy and grace there is none. He is glad to save. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you would help us to understand how perfect is your life and death and resurrection for us, and that you went through it because it was your will to take the Father's command and lay down your life for those whom he had given you, those who would believe in you. And that you went through all that to cleanse us, to forgive us, to adopt us, and to save us, because you're not ashamed to call us brethren. Help us to believe that you are still the same, that trusting in you, we enter into the family of God, that we might be the firstborn, that you might be the firstborn among many brethren. Help us to, by faith, believe that because of your grace, because of your righteousness imputed to us, you're not ashamed of us. And help our hearts to delight in this, to rejoice in it, to be amazed at the measure of your grace, and desire to not be ashamed of you in this world, but to bear your reproach, to speak your name, to live for your glory. Strengthen our faith as we take this supper. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.